Well, good morning. It's good to see y'all on the internet this morning and the few of us that are in the sanctuary. We're going to start out by singing On Jordan's Stormy Banks. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair. Song is going to be All Fly Away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away.
Praise the Lord. All right, our next song is going to be Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He breaks the power of canceled sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the foulest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Our final song this morning is going to be The Savior is Waiting. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Jesus, for coming into our hearts. If you would, please welcome Pastor Steve. Oh, that's right, we got birthdays. Amen.
All right, birthday this week is, and Fred, I'm doing you a big favor, buddy, Fred Redmond, because you know your wife's birthday isn't until the 22nd, right? I'm giving you plenty of warning. We couldn't wait till next Sunday, because if we wait till next Sunday, Fred, we miss it. We miss the birthday if we wait till next Sunday. Fred, are you with me? Wake up, Brother Fred. Birthday for Miss Ann Redmond is on the 22nd, 8:22. Miss Ann Redmond's going to have a birthday, and
Amen.
We'll have to find out how old she's going to be this year. Amen? Or in a few days. So let's sing to Miss Ann. Thank y'all. All right.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you.
Outstanding. Okay. All right. Woo. Take a breath of fresh air. Put your little mask down. Hope everybody's having a great Sunday morning this morning. It's good to have our crew here with us today. It's real small. Am I moving around? You got me jumping around there? Move that camera. It's an earthquake. It's an earthquake. It's 4.5 on the Richter scale. Y'all not feeling that at your house? Amy, a good coffee, good coffee. Yeah, I got a little bit left. Pardon me while I finish it. Man, that is some good coffee. Praise the Lord for coffee. All right, well, here we go. Beautiful day out there. Going to be super hot. Take your heat precautions, all your COVID precautions, all that. But boy, be careful in the heat today. And the good news about this time of year is it don't last forever. Hang in there. Outside yesterday afternoon, it had to have been about 7 o'clock. We were in the backyard doing some softball pitching. And I don't pitch, but my youngest daughter pitches. And so we were doing that, had the shade, finally got the shade. You know, we don't go out there in the heat. Finally got the shade in the backyard. And so we're out there throwing some balls and trying to get a changeup going. And I kept listening to the AC unit on the side of the house. And that sucker ran and ran. You know, it's one of those central AC units, you know. You every minute it runs, it's, yeah, I'm thinking, that thing's going to cycle off here in a minute. But it didn't cycle. It took it a long time. And it finally cycled off. I thought, well, it'll be off for a while. It wasn't off very long. It was back on. It was back on, man. So it is just super duper hot. You stay cool, drink plenty of fluids, and keep looking to Jesus. Amen? All right. Well, we are going to try to come back. Well, we're not going to try. We are going to come back first Sunday in September. It's back on. So we just got a few more weeks doing this, and looking forward to coming back together. And hopefully everybody will come and be a part that first Sunday in September. I think we've delayed it and delayed it about as long as we can delay it. I know there's some churches that are delaying it even further. Some churches have already started back. Some churches are starting back on the 23rd. So, I mean, it's just kind of a smorgasbord of different dates and all kinds of stuff. But we know the schools aren't going back in this area until, I want to say, what is it after, after Labor Day. So that's September the 8th. Okay. So we'll be starting service back on, what, the 2nd? Is it the 2nd or the 3rd? I think it's the 2nd or the 3rd of September, the first Sunday. So we'll be a little bit earlier than the schools, but that's all right. That's all right. We're gonna do good. We're going to do good. Be good when we come back together. Huh? The 6th is the first Sunday. Okay, September the 6th. So it's just 2 days earlier than the school. So it all worked out to be great. You sure you got the right mic? September? Okay. I thought it was the 2nd or 3rd. I don't know. Anyway, all right. If you have a copy of God's Word, let's take them and turn to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue on in our series of messages on the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin reading here in verse 5, and we'll read it through verse 8. And I'm really looking forward to next week, as you turn to that and try to find that passage, Miss Terry Kimball is going to be speaking next week right here about her experience with Samaritan's Purse up in Central Park in New York City. So you tune in, tell your friends. It's going to be eye-opening. It's going to be some good, you know, God did some things up there with that group and with Miss Terry, and just a good testimony about how God moves in the midst of even COVID pandemic. So you come back and tune back in, so to speak. Listen to that next week, and we'll continue on with this series of messages in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Have you found it this morning? If you have, say glory, hallelujah. All right, the Word of God reads this in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. It says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the reading of Your holy, inerrant Word. We thank You for what You want to show us and how You want to teach us, Lord, and how You want to just kind of steer us in the right direction when it comes to our prayer lives. Lord, thank You that we can pray. Thank You for those that find a time each and every day to intercede on behalf of others, to talk about their own struggles, Lord, to lift different things up in this country. Thank You for the prayer warriors in this country. Thank You for the prayer warriors in this church. We thank You for the power of prayer, Lord, and how You work through it. It is an amazing, powerful thing that we get to be a part of. We praise You today for it. And Lord, if there's anyone here listening this morning that does not know You as their personal Lord and Savior, they've never stopped, they've never thought, they've never taken on that truth of receiving You. Of course, they believe in You, Lord, and they know some things in the Bible, but they've never really stopped and thought about receiving You into their heart and into their life as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray today if there's someone like that listening to us, that this would be the hour, this would be the time, this would be the moment where they receive You, where they just listen to the gospel and they believe it and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank You, God, that You still save. Thank You, Jesus, that You died on the cross. We are thankful for Your blood that covers our sin, makes a way for us to heaven and to glory for all eternity. We praise You and thank You for that. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right. Well, we're talking about praying in secret. And what in the world does that mean, praying in secret? Praying in secret. What does that mean? As we think about this prayer and as we think about how to pray and as we think about Jesus' instructions on prayer, let's just exhort several praise the Lords. Amen? Let's just think about exhorting and praising the Lord this morning concerning the topic of prayer. I mean, think about it. First of all, prayer has to be, it has to be one of the greatest privileges that the saints of God enjoy. Prayer. Think about the incredible benefit of being able to go directly, I mean directly, into the presence of the Lord. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a rabbi. You don't have to go through another man. You don't have to go through another woman. You don't have to go through another person. You can go directly to God in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friend, if your prayer life has not grown during this COVID pandemic, you really need to stop and think about who you are and about what Jesus means to you and about the Holy Spirit living inside of you. If your prayer life has not grown during the COVID-19 pandemic, I mean, I'm telling you, we are in a time of trouble. We are in a time of need. And if we ever needed God like we need Him today, I mean, I'm telling you, pray, friend, pray. Secondly, let's exhort several praise the Lords this morning. Secondly, prayer is a mystery. We can praise Him today for the mystery of it, in that we get to speak to the sovereign God who spoke everything that you see, who spoke everything that you can look up at night and look at, who spoke all of that into creation, who actually controls the universe. You, one of the 7 billion people on this planet, you get to speak to Him if you're saved. You get to speak to Him. It's a mystery to me. And why, and this is the question that we exhort it and we just praise the Lord. Why would such a God hear us? Why would such a God give us the opportunity to talk to Him on this side of eternity, on this side here in time, trapped in time, stuck in finite time? The only response I have to the mystery is simply this: because of His great love for us. And then that begs the question That looks at another mystery. Why does God love us so much? Right? I don't know. One day it'll all come together and we'll connect the dots. But my soul, it's a mystery. And how do we get to do it? Short answer for today. We could spend a lot of time on this. Short answer for today. Because of His great love for us. Thirdly, our Heavenly Father has promised to hear us. The hearing part is incredible enough. But thirdly, our Heavenly Father has promised to hear us and subsequently to answer us. He answers us through the Word of God. He answers us through other Christians. He answers us through our inner man. But God answers us, which is really a blessing that is very difficult to comprehend, really, when you stop and think about it. Fourthly, real prayer is used. Real prayer, not fake prayer, but real prayer. Real prayer is used by God to accomplish His purposes on this earth. Think about that. What a gift we have been given, knowing that He has invited us to be involved with Him in the work that He is doing, controlling and running and moving the world to the time of its completion, right? When time ends and eternity begins. One, two, three, four. Four things. I could have gone on and on talking about things to praise God about when it comes to the topic of prayer. But four is enough, right? When we think about prayer, like anything else that we've been blessed with, like anything else that God has given us, we as humans can even mess up something as profound and beautiful as prayer. Since the time of Seth, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, men have been calling upon the name of the Lord. Many have prayed properly. Many have prayed really and have seen God move in tremendous power as God heard and answered those prayers. But others have simply gone through the motion of prayer. Others have simply played around with prayer. They've had the wrong motives in their prayer life. And they have received nothing in the form of an answer to their requests. So we're talking about real prayer here. We're talking about praying in secret. What does that mean? We're talking about the beauty of it, right? Do you sense it? Do you feel it today? As we look at these verses, 5, 6, 7, and 8, four verses, I want to share with you basically three things, right? The first point's really long. The second point's shorter, and the third point's shorter than that, okay? So as we're going through the first point, you're thinking, man, he's not done with the first point. Hang on. It's not going to be a two-hour message, I promise, right? Three things about four verses. Number one, I want to share with you some cautions regarding public prayer. Some cautions regarding public prayer. Look at verse 5 with me, chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. Man, when you think about the Jews, I mean, you know, this is Matthew's gospel. It's to a Jewish audience. When you think about the Sermon on the Mount, they're on the Mount of Olives. Jesus is talking about Jewish disciples. I mean, you know, there's some Gentiles and some Greeks mixed in, but really the majority of them here in the gospel of Matthew, Matthew's audience is Jewish. Most of them are of that flavor, right? Jewish folks. When you think about the Jewish nation, what a blessed and privileged people the Jewish folk are, and that God had chosen them, and that God had given the law and the prophets through them, and that God had promised to send His Messiah through them, and He's done that. We're looking at this in Matthew's gospel. And God gave them access to Him through the tabernacle and the temple and through the system of sacrifices. They of all the people, they of all the people on the planet of the earth should have known how to talk to God. But over the years, over the many millennia, many errors had worked their way into Jewish worship and prayer, which gets us to the term that Jesus uses here in verse 5. You see the term there? Hypocrite, right? You ever been called a hypocrite? I mean, you know the church is full of them, right? I mean, you know, people tell me they don't want to come to church because all the hypocrites. I I just tell them, well, you know, just slither on in here with the rest of us, right? Because, you know, if you're calling us a hypocrite, probably means you are one, right? Takes one to know one type deal, amen? The Greek word here, hypocrisis, the Greek word hupo means under. The Greek word krisis means character. It means under character. If you have hypothyroidism, what does that mean? That means you take Synthroid or you take levothyroxine, right? Hypo means you have an underperforming thyroid. It's under, okay? Same deal. Hypothyroidism uses that Greek preposition hypo meaning under. Here we got hypocrisis or hypocrite, right? It means a character underneath. It speaks of the theatrical terminology of the day. The play actors of the day, they were known as hypocrites, right? That was a term of endearment, somebody that got up on the stage and they would wear a mask and they didn't have sound systems and they didn't have speakers and they didn't have all that. So these guys in the mask, they had to do what? They had to speak up and project. And they had to portray their character, right? That's what Jesus is calling these folks. Thus, Jesus is referring to these Jewish folks. He was saying, in a sense, that they were simply play acting, if you will, with the awesome privilege of prayer. The awesome privilege of prayer. Now you say, Pastor, how are they doing that? Well, I want to give you some cautions regarding public prayer. But in order to do that, I really need to kind of set the context. And so these people Jesus is referring to were simply play acting, if you will, with the awesome privilege of prayer. And the question is, how were they doing that? How were they play actors? Well, let me share with you six ways they were play actors. Number one, prayer had become nothing more than a ritual for them. Nothing more than a ritual. The Jew prayed, but his prayers were scripted. His prayers were pretty much written down, wrote, and memorized. There was no creativity to it whatsoever. He either quoted from memory or he read his prayers. Thus a Jew could pray, this is the point, thus a Jew could pray and not even think about what he was praying. Now, some of you have seen footage of Jews on the television, on the Discovery, on the Learning Channel, you've seen on the History Channel, on the PBS, you have seen footage of Jews praying even in our time today at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, in Israel. And these men, they've got the long flowing curls and they're wearing the hats and they're dressed in black and they're at the Wailing Wall. What are they doing? They're kind of going back and forth like this and they're chanting over and over again, rocking back and forth as they recite, as they say these prayers from memory, right? These people Jesus is referring to were simply play acting. Well, Pastor, how were they doing that? Well, prayer had become nothing more than a ritual. But secondly, predetermined prayers were formulated for every aspect of life. So the Jews, what they would do, daily they would repeat the Shema. This prayer was found from selected phrases from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 21, and Numbers 15, chapter 15, verses 37 through 41. Often, if they were in a rush, the Shema was used in its abbreviated form, which is simply just Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Another prayer that they prayed over and over again was called the Shemone Esrei, which means the 18. The 18. This was a series of 18 prayers that addressed various aspects of life. 18 aspects of life. And they would pray this prayer all the time, every day. The faithful Jew would pray all 18 of these prayers three times every day. Every day. As every area of life had a prayer that had been developed to deal with it, this again led to prayer being something that could be recited from the head and not lifted up from the heart. I'm hoping that's making sense from you. It's not lifted up from the inner man. It's not lifted up from the spirit, but it's lifted up from simply the head. There's no spiritual component to it. Thirdly, prayer was limited to preset times and occasions. Preset times and occasions. Instead of praying when they felt led to. Instead of praying when a need immediately came across to them, or when a need arose at all, they all prayed at set times. Jews and Muslims and other groups still do this today. Regardless of where the Jew was, at the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, or what we would understand as 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m., the Jew would stop what he was doing and he would offer the necessary prayers. Now, we need to remember today, this morning, right here together, that there's nothing wrong with praying at a predetermined time. You may pray at about the same time every night before you go to bed. You may pray at about the same time every morning when you get up. You may pray at the same time in your car in the parking lot of your employer before you get out and start your day. You may pray at about the same time when you're driving home from work. I hope you're keeping your eyes open if you're doing that. But you don't understand what I'm saying. You may have a predetermined time when you pray. There's nothing wrong praying at a predetermined time, but don't ever forget, we are called upon to be in an attitude of prayer always, as 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Fourthly, how did they play around with this great privilege? How were they play actors? What's the point of their hypocrisy being called hypocrites by Jesus? Number four, well, long prayers were held in high regard. Well, the longer the better. The Jews believed that the longer and more elaborate the prayer, the more likely it was to be heard by God. Nothing wrong with a long-winded prayer if the Holy Spirit's in the midst of it, if it's not forced. Nothing wrong with a long-winded prayer if it's moving and the Spirit of God is moving. But when a person prays a long time to impress others, to impress other folks, which is what the Jews were doing, they had crossed the line into pretense and they had crossed the line into insincerity. Number five, many prayers were comprised of meaningless repetition. Meaningless repetition. The Jews were notorious for repeating phrases and of adding adjectives to the name of God, thinking that they would be heard by Him. This repetition, this chanting stuff, which again goes on at the Wailing Wall, even today, was a pagan practice picked up by the Jews that sadly is found in many Christian circles today. And I'll not mention the groups. If you want to know what those groups are, you send me a text or email and I'll share with you today what those groups are. But no need in dragging those folks through the mud this morning. Number six, how were they play acting? How were they hypocrites? The desire to be seen and heard by others. This is the worst offense of all. The worst offense of all. The desire to be seen and heard of others. Prayer had ceased to be about communion, and that's what prayer is. It's communion with the Heavenly Father. It had ceased to be about that, communion with God, and had degenerated into an attempt to impress other people. This is the attitude that Jesus is dealing with in these verses. So when we come to this passage and we say we got three things about four verses, the first thing is some cautions regarding the public prayer, right? And we've kind of set the context for you. So now let me give you the cautions. Number one, when you pray publicly, beware of wrong motives. Beware of wrong motives. God tells us that prayer is not about being seen or heard by others. That's not it. Rather, prayer is a time of personal communion with God, even if it's a public prayer. It's about being in communion with God. Many have read these verses and concluded that any kind of public prayer is off limits. And that's not true, but when you pray publicly, you're still communing with God. Jesus was not forbidding public prayers. He was telling men to beware of who their audience was, right? Who are you praying to? If men were praying in public to be seen and heard by others, then they had totally missed the point of prayer. Totally missed it. Prayer is about a saved person entering into the very presence of God to have communion with Him. Man, if you don't get anything else today, get that point, right? That's what it is. Beware of wrong motives. Secondly, beware of wrong methods. Wrong methods. These people Jesus called hypocrites, play actors, were guilty of standing in public places. And they were guilty of standing in places like the synagogues. And they were guilty of standing at these busy street corners on these major thoroughfares within these towns and hamlets and praying these loud and long prayers. You say, well, Pastor, how did all that work? Well, I mean, first of all, you need to understand a synagogue back here in the first century was really a community building. You know, you had to have at least 10 families to employ a rabbi. And that rabbi would teach the 10 families' kids, right? He would teach them from elementary all the way to advanced, what we would consider college degree work today. I mean, the rabbi would take them from itty-bitty all the way up. Now, certainly he had assistants and he had help, depending on the size of the synagogue. But when school was not going on, there were other things going on. People would meet there to discuss civic affairs, city council kind of stuff. I mean, there was a lot of traffic in and out of the synagogue, depending on how many families paid into that synagogue, how big that synagogue was. I mean, there's a lot going on there. And then these streets, I mean, you had small, out-of-the-way streets, just like you do in any town, and you had major thoroughfares, just like you do pretty much in any town. How did it work? How did they do what Jesus is accusing them of? Well, you'll remember that the Jews prayed at what? The third, the sixth, and the what? The third, the sixth, and the ninth hours, which equates to our what? Our 9 a.m., our noon, and our 3 p.m. So what they would do? I mean, they're kind of slick, trying to be slick, you know, trying to get one over. They would manipulate their schedules, right? I mean, if you walked everywhere you went, you pretty much know how long it would take you from walk from point A to point B, right? Well, if you knew at 9, noon, or 3 o'clock, you would be coming to this major thoroughfare, you would be coming to this synagogue, well, you would just make sure that you bebopped in there at about the right time, right? And so the third, the sixth, or the ninth hour, which equates to our 9, noon, 3 p.m., so what they would do, they'd manipulate that schedule in such a way as to arrive at the synagogue or the major thoroughfare at these prescribed times. Well, bam, here we are. It's the third, it's the sixth, it's the ninth hour. I've got to pray. Right? Because I'm religious. And I'm so spiritual. So you guys are just going to have to be, you know, entertained. And so then they would commence to their long, chanting-like, overly adjective, using adjectives over and over, to try to impress the folks that were in their midst, right? Their desire was to impress others with their piety and their religiosity. What does Jesus do here? He soundly condemns this kind of praying because it draws attention to the man, and it does not draw attention to Almighty God. It glorifies the flesh and not the Father. Again, there's nothing wrong with praying in public. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a person standing in public to pray. God is not concerned about the posture of the body, standing or sitting. He's concerned about the attitude of the heart and the focus of the mind. So if a person's public praying is different from their private praying, and is designed to appeal to others instead of pointing men to God, men, women, and children to God, then a person's public prayer smacks of what? It smacks of hypocrisy, and it smacks of pretense. It looks hypocritical, what we're saying. Have you ever heard someone pray in public? You just couldn't quite hear them, But you know that they were really rattling the bars of heaven, and they're praying in public, and you got the sense, you kind of got the sense that they would need to kind of speak up. You kind of got the sense that they didn't even know that they were praying in public. They'd been asked to pray in public, but you listening to them, they were praying like they weren't even praying in public, because you kind of got the sense that they didn't care if you heard them or not. Why is that? Well, friend, they were not talking to you. They're talking to Almighty God. Does that make sense to you? I hope that makes sense to you. Sometimes in our workings, and sometimes the way we think about how things ought to happen, we think when somebody's praying publicly that we should all be able to hear them. Friend, they're not talking for us. They're talking to Almighty God. Hey, it's great if everybody gets to hear, and it's great if the sound system's right. And it's, well, you know, that's an added bonus. But friend, we're publicly praying. Somebody's asked us to publicly pray. You know, you may not have a voice like this. You know, I've met people, I call them low talkers, because I'm going about half deaf anyway, right? But they're low talkers. I can't hear them. You'd have to put them right here for me to hear them, right? Can't hear them, right? I just cannot hear them. Right? Mic them up, can't hear them. Well, not necessarily mic them up, Pastor. They're not praying to you. They're praying to Him, right? You want to hear what they're saying, maybe sit next to them. Go stand by them. Lean in a little bit, amen? Well, when the COVID's over, maybe. Maybe I'll lean in a little. But not so much right now. Amen? Does that make sense? They're not talking to you. They're talking to God. But these people, when they were praying, these Jews, when they were talking to be heard by men. And weren't concerned about communing with God. So, some cautions regarding public prayer. Secondly, some counsel regarding private prayer. Look at verse 6 with me. Having told his disciples how the hypocrites prayed, Jesus proceeds to tell them how they should pray, right? Why the warning and the guidelines for prayer? Pastor, why is there so much here in chapter 6 on prayer? Well, we know it's a great privilege. We know it's an incredible opportunity. But why the warning and the guidelines for prayer? Well, friend, even in the activity like prayer, there is still the danger that the flesh will get involved. I'm telling you. Or that we will be led astray by Satan in our prayer life. Satan will try anything. The demonic will try anything he can to hinder. They will try anything they can to hinder your prayer life. Satan will try to get your flesh involved if he can. He will turn your prayer time into a time of your own self-promotion and your own self-centered circus. So we have to do what? We have to continually work to keep our prayer genuine, to keep our prayer real. Some counsel regarding private prayer. Verse 6, real prayer is a priority. It is a priority. Some counsel regarding private prayer. Verse 6 says, but you, here we are, you know, we talked about last week, we talked about how it went to the general, to the specific. You all, in the very beginning of the passage, and then you singular, same thing going on here, same thing. But you, that's singular. But you, when you singular, pray. Notice Jesus doesn't say, if you pray. He says, when you pray, it is expected that God's people will do what? That they will pray. And all you have to do is look at the Word of God. Friend, we are commanded to pray. Luke chapter 18, 1, commanded to do it. We're commanded again to do it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Prayer is a command, right? It's not an option. And since we're told to pray, we must make it a priority. If you do not make prayer a priority in your life, then you'll never pray. Simply put, you'll never pray. Some people only pray when they are in public. Some people only pray when they go to church or a prayer meeting. That's the only time they pray. But what about personal, individual communion with God? Our own private communion with God, our own private prayer time should be the highest priority of each day. And if you're trying to grow with the Lord, if you're trying to grow in the Lord, you're trying to grow up for the Lord, you're trying to be discipled, you're trying to be all the Christian that God saved you to be, if that's your goal, if that's what you want to do, if you're tired of the mundane, if you're tired of being below average, you really want to step it up spiritually, friend, listen to me. You will never grow in the Lord beyond the depth of your prayer life. You never will. Never will. You got to have your prayer life in there, friend. Real prayer is a priority. Secondly, we're talking about some counsel regarding private prayer. Real prayer is personal. It's personal. In contrast to the hypocrites who like to pray in public places to be seen of others, Jesus tells his people to go into a private place to pray. Why, Pastor? Why? Well, there are things that need to be said in prayer, things that need to be said in private prayer that do not need to be said within the earshot of others. These Jews praying on the street corners, these Jews praying in the midst of synagogues, do you think they were confessing their sins? No. No, they weren't, right? When we pray in private, we can have liberty to declare our hearts to the Lord. We can pray about personal, private matters and struggles that would embarrass us if others heard. When we are praying privately, we can call out the names of people that burden us in our private time of prayer. We can be honest with the Lord. We can humble ourselves before Him. We can be who we really are with God in our private prayer. For in private prayer, who is there to impress? There is nobody there to impress. God loves you. If you're saved, He's accepted you. If you're born again, He's living inside of you. So who are you really trying? You're not trying to impress anybody in private prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying as a group. Notice the next section of Scripture beginning in verse 9. Notice verse 9, Jesus tells us to say, Our Father. This implies corporate prayer. I mean, there's all kinds of praying. This passage just simply has to deal that we're in this morning is dealing with private, personal prayer. In private prayer, right? When you're praying it privately, you do not even have to pray out loud. Don't have to pray out loud when you're praying privately. God hears your innermost thoughts when you pray. God hears your heart when you pray. God hears your inner man when you cry out to Him. A 4th century believer by the name of Chrysostom said that many people in his day, this is in the 300s, Chrysostom, 4th century, said that many people in his day prayed so loud in their prayer closets that everyone could hear what they were saying. You know, that's the same attitude as the hypocrites, right? It's just taking it a step removed, right? Okay, well, I'll go to my private prayer closet, but I'm going to scream it so loud that everybody 2 houses down is going to know, or 2 rooms down, everybody on the next floor up, and then everybody around me in this place going to know what I'm praying. Can I give you the application? I want to give you the application. Let me give it to you. There are some things that I don't want you to hear in my prayer life. Some things I don't want you to hear. And there are some things that I don't want the devil to hear. I don't want the demonic to hear. So some things I'm going to keep my prayer what? Keep my prayer silent in my private prayer life. You hear what I'm saying? Real prayer is a priority. Real prayer is personal. Thirdly, this morning, real prayer is precious as we talk about some counsel regarding private prayer. Real prayer is precious. Pray to your Father who is in secret. Who is in secret. This is a reference to the very dwelling place of God. And for the Jews sitting there on that Mount of Olives, for the Jews listening to this Sermon on the Mount, for the Jewish folks, this was a startling revelation when Jesus says, pray to your Father who's in secret. For centuries, the high priest was the only one allowed to go into the secret place, to go into the Holy of Holies. And he could only enter that place once per year on the Day of Atonement or Atonement, Yom Kippur. And he could only enter with the blood to atone for his sins and the sins of the people. He could only come in if he had a blood sacrifice ready to sprinkle over the Ark of the Covenant between the two cherubim on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. That's the only time he got to go in the secret place. One day a year. Jesus tells us that when we enter into genuine prayer before the Lord, that we are able to go to this secret place. Well, that secret place is no more when Jesus died on the cross. The curtain separating the holy place and the holy of holies was rent in twain. When he said it is finished, it was finished. So the secret place today is the very throne room of God. The very throne room of God. Jesus tells us that when we enter into genuine prayer before the Lord, we are able to go to this secret with Him. Literally, we are allowed access. Then, it was the Holy of Holies. Now, it's the Holy of Holies in heaven, the throne room of grace, per Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We don't have to have some human priest. He doesn't have to stand in for us. But through Jesus Christ, we have access to the very throne of our Father in heaven. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. James 4, 8. Real prayer is powerful. It is precious. Real prayer is personal. Real prayer is a priority. Finally, real prayer is powerful. Verse 6, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Will reward you. Now, Jesus is telling us that when prayer ceases to be about us, when prayer ceases to be about being seen by others, and prayer becomes all about Him, then we can expect Him to move in response to our prayers. Those who pray for the applause of others, they get exactly what they want. That's what verse 5 says. When you pray, you do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have the reward in full. Same word we looked at last week, apeko, in the Greek. It's just a piece of paper. Says, paid in full. It's not worth anything, right? They have the reward, right? Verse 5. But those who see prayer as a time of private communion with the Lord and are not concerned with personal glory, those people see God move mighty. They see God move in mighty power as He, God, our Heavenly Father, gets all the glory. No glory comes to us. All glory goes to Him. So, some cautions regarding public prayer, some counsel regarding private prayer, and finally this morning, some conditions regarding personal prayer, whether it's public or private. Personal prayer. Verses 7 and 8. Number 1, refrain from repetition. Refrain from repetition. I'll say it one more time just to make the point. Refrain. Well, Pastor, you're repeating yourself. Yeah, I often do, right? But I'm telling you, when you pray, refrain from repetition. Verse 7, look at it with me. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Pagans, as well as many of the Jews, believed that they would be heard by the Lord if they prayed their prayers or the same phrases over and over again. You'll be reminded of an example of repetitive phrasing for effect. It's seen in the Baal prophets in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 26 through 29 with Elijah. Remember on Mount Carmel, right? They just carried on. They kept saying the same thing. They started slicing their bodies and cutting their bodies and all of this stuff to try to get their Baal God to respond. Well, their Baal God's not real, so He didn't respond. And you'll also notice the same thing happens in the New Testament with the people of Ephesus, right? In Acts chapter 19, verses 24 through 34, Acts 19, verses 24 through 34. Repetitive phrasing for effect still goes on today, though some of it is of a symbolic nature. Now, I will identify these folks. Many Buddhists today still spin wheels. They spin wheels, friend. What's he saying? They spin a wheel. Many Buddhists today still spin wheels containing written prayers. Every wheel of fortune, right, at the end of the game? Well, I mean, even before the end of the game. What are they spinning? A big old wheel, right? That wheel don't go around very far, but that little bitty wheel at the very end of the game, you know, when the person says, "You go," what does he say? It's going a phrase. Do you want your final puzzle to be a phrase, a person? Or, you know, it's normally three categories. And, you know, they say whatever. And then they go over and they take that little wheel, right, and they just and that sucker. And Pat's, you know, sometimes when the big guys get up there and do it, Pat's like kind of, whoa, I hope the stuff don't come flying off the wheel, right? I mean, that's how hard they spin it. Thing goes, I mean, it's going around and around. It finally stops. And where it stops, they pick it out and give it to him, right? He holds it. And they go try to do the Buddhists, still today, they spin wheels containing written prayers, believing that each turn of the wheel sends that prayer to their God. Are you kidding me? Roman Catholics. Now, my former Catholics are going to be able to relate to this. You know what I'm talking about. Roman Catholics light prayer candles. Prayer candles in the belief that their requests will continue to ascend repetitiously to God as long as the candle is lit. Rosaries. I'm not picking on the Catholics. I'm just trying to make a point. But rosaries are used to count off repeated prayers of Hail Mary and Our Father. The rosary, you know how the rosary came to be in Catholicism? The rosary itself coming to Catholicism, not trying to pick on anybody, came to Catholicism from Buddhism. Oh, but it gets more twisted than that. It came to Buddhism by way of the Spanish Muslims during the Middle Ages. Man, if you don't see the demonic in the midst of that, friend, you wake up, right? Rosaries, Roman Catholics, Buddhist spin wheels, certain charismatic groups in our own day repeat the same words and the same phrases over and over until the speaking degenerates into unintelligible confusion. They work themselves up in the spirit, and they call that speaking in tongues sometimes, right? A lot of times, if we are using the same phrases when we're called on publicly to pray, that may mean that we are simply anxious about praying in front of others. We need to lose that. When we talk to God, we're talking to God. We're not talking for anybody else to hear us. Well, if somebody calls on us to pray publicly, talk to God, right? Yeah, just to talk to God. Or we pray the same prayer at mealtimes. We're praying the same prayer over and over again at mealtimes. That may indicate that we're hungry and we want to get on with the meal. Amen? Right? Well, you need to save a little more time and just stop, tranquilo, relax, and just talk to God. A lot of times when we use the same phrases over and over again in our private prayer, we're simply trying to fill the time as we think about the next request. But when you're praying publicly, you really only have an audience of one. And when you're praying privately, you really only have an audience of one. So just talk to God. Take your time, but get to the point. Get to the point. Right? There's no pressure. Relax. Just seek to be reverent. Seek to be humble. And seek to just rest in the peace of your salvation. Whether you pray in public or you pray in private. Amen? And let me add that. Let me add this little nugget or piece of application or whatever you want to call it. There's nothing wrong to repeat the same request to the Lord. You want to pray the same request on Monday and then come back on Tuesday and pray the same request and then come back Wednesday and pray the same request and then come back Thursday and pray the same request and then come back. Did I say Thursday? Let's get to Friday. Same request and then get to Saturday. Same request. And then here we are Sunday again. Same request. Roll it around back to Monday. Pray the same request. It's okay, right? It's okay to do that. However, what we're talking about here, we cross the line when we enter into a mindless state where we are what? Where prayer becomes something we do, but not something we think about and allow the inner man, the Holy Spirit, to pray through us. I hope that's making sense for you today, right? To drone on in repetitious praying based on this passage is an insult to the Lord. We don't want to do that, right? So, some conditions regarding personal prayer. Refrain from repetition. Number two, rest in your relationship. The Word of God says in verse 8, "Our Father." Now, we're going to get into that more next time. But if God already knows what we need, then what is the point of praying, preacher? Right? Prayer gives God the opportunity to hear His children, that's us, express what? To express our love for Him. To express what? To express our dependence upon Him. To express what? To express our faith in Him. Our Father, when we pray, right? Rest in your relationship, verse 8. And finally, some conditions regarding personal prayer. Rely on His resources. Verse 8 again says, knows what you need before you ask Him. Knows what you need before you ask Him. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. In God's prayer economy, in the economy of prayer, He demonstrates His love. He demonstrates His power. He demonstrates His glory. He demonstrates providence and sovereignty. God demonstrates provision for His children in prayer. And so, let me end with this. Let me try to end with this. Prayers not prayed will be prayers not answered. Prayers not prayed will be prayers not answered. Let me qualify that. Real prayers not prayed will be prayers not answered. Right? Fake prayers, prayers motivated for self, right? Prayers in public trying to get glory for yourself. The glory that you receive from men. I mean, you know, when people think, well, that was a real spiritual prayer, you know, right? And you were doing that for men and not to God, right? Well, that's all you're getting, right? But when you really pray, communing with God, whether publicly or privately, real prayers, not prayed, will be prayers not answered. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. Friend, I invite you to ask. Let the Holy Spirit lead you as you ask for help, as you ask for healing, as you ask for encouragement, as you ask for wisdom, as you ask to be blessed. Right? Pray it real, friend. Pray with the mindset that you want the answer of your prayers to glorify Almighty God. You want Him to get the glory. You want Him to get the praise. You want Him to get the worship. Friend, if you pray like that, woo, son, you're on the right track. If you're praying like that today, woo, baby, way to go. You're doing it. Just keep on keeping on, right? Pray to bring glory and honor to God. Yeah, you're going to have needs. Yes, you're going to have struggles. Yes, you're going to have all this going on, right? Just remember, praise Him, right? Thank Him, right? Confess, right? Intercede on behalf of others. And then talk to Him about your own needs. Make your prayer time about God, and it'll be a rich, God-glorifying prayer time. I think one of the most precious prayers in all the world is that prayer when that sinner finally gets to the point where they know that they're in need of a Savior. And they call out to who? They call out to Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to come into their heart to be their personal Lord and Savior. That's got to be one of the most precious prayers ever prayed. Those of us that are saved, we've prayed some kind of prayer like that. We've made some kind of intercession on our behalf like that. Oh, somebody counseled us or somebody talked to us, or we may have even followed somebody in prayer, right? In being encouraged to believe what we were praying in our hearts with everything within us as we confessed our sins and invited Jesus Christ into our hearts and into our lives. If that's never happened to you, if you've never prayed a prayer of salvation, it's not too late. You still have today. You still have this hour. But friend, in this time, in this age, and what's going on around the world and in this country of ours, I wouldn't put something like that off 1 minute, 1 hour. I wouldn't put it off a day. You feel like the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart? You might want to text me. You might want to get online and look at some different websites, rbc.com, Radio Bible Class, Billy Graham, Google that, look at his organization, Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, the son, look at his organization. There will be links on there, put in the search bar, how to be saved, prayer of salvation. It'll get you to the right page. You can look at it for yourself, what it means to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've got to get to the point where you know you're a sinner and that you know God is taking care of your sin by sending His Savior, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and shed His blood to cover your sin. You've got to get to that point. Friend, once you're to that point, you're ready to place your faith and trust in Jesus. Friend, you need to get on down the road with it. Quit messing around. Don't put that off another hour, another minute, another day. Let Jesus save you. Amen. Jesus still saves. Do you believe that? Amen. All right. Let's close with a word of prayer. You'll be dismissed, and we'll see you back here Sunday. Or not Sunday. Today is Sunday. We'll see you back here. Well, we'll see you back here next Sunday. But we'll see you. And who's coming next Sunday? Terry Kimball. Next Sunday, Terry Kimball. But we'll see you back here Wednesday. Amen. Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Right, Bible study and prayer time. Come on back. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. So, you want to talk about the Ten Commandments, hear about the Ten Commandments, come on back Wednesday night. We'll be in the Word of God. Book of Exodus, that's what we're at on Wednesday night. Talking about Moses. All right, let's pray. About to drone on into a second message. Let's pray. Don't be long-winded, preacher. All right, okay, I'm trying. Here we go. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for loving us, and Lord, how you've saved us. We thank you that we've, Lord, been given the opportunity to express our faith in a prayer of salvation. And Lord, we know that prayer has to be expressed, we know that faith has to be expressed, but what a beautiful way to express it in prayer as we invite you into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, we lift those up that are listening to this now and who will click on this subsequently later than this live stream. And Lord, they've stayed in this message all the way to the end. They've gotten to this point. And Lord, they know in their heart of hearts that they need to make a decision for you. And Lord, I pray that they would make the right decision, that they would receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Others, Lord, are struggling in their lives, or their prayer lives. They've not made it a priority, Lord. They've not grown in their prayer life during this COVID pandemic. Lord, I pray that you would help those turn that around and have that attitude, have that spirit of prayer, Lord. Let them lift things up and praise you throughout their day. And Lord, just notice the incredible blessings that you give us in even the most average and what we may think are the most mundane way, our mundane days, Lord. You're always in the midst of our days. You're always leading us and guiding us. And we just praise you and thank you for that. Lord, help us all grow in the area of prayer life. And again, Lord, as I close, I thank you for the prayer warriors in this nation and in this church. Lord, may you continue to use them mightily as they pray to a sovereign God. And as you answer their prayers, how your sovereignty and humanity's prayers all work and come together, and your will is completely fulfilled in the end, I don't know. It's above me, Lord. It's above my mind. But Lord, I know what your Bible says, and we've been commanded to pray. And Lord, you give us direction in prayer. And I just pray, God, we'd be obedient to that direction and those commands. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Give us a great beginning to this week. And Lord, I pray that when we come back together on Wednesday, it would be awesome as we talk again about the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, that we can share the bread with other folks. Thank you for the great privilege and honor it is to share that bread with other beggars such as myself. We love you. We praise you today. Thank you for being so real to us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. We'll see you back here Wednesday night.